This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Question about that as well.
Terry, can you believe that Husker fans are whining already? And that's not all of them. That's not all of them. I'm not even sure it's a quarter or a tenth of them. But obviously the whiners are the ones that make radio and make newspaper and make TV sound bites. Can you believe what you've heard since that game on Saturday?
I think, you know, we've been in this long enough that we can believe it, and it seems like probably it is a lot of the same people, probably the same people who wanted Frank Solich shown the door, probably the same people who were loving Bill Callahan when he arrived, and then 4 years later were wanting Bill Callahan out. So I think that there's a certain amount of people that are probably a lot of times the most verbal people who, you know, don't understand the concept of patience. And, you know, you look at Missouri and where Missouri is at right now, and just think back over the years and all the negative things that you've heard said about Gary Pinkel. And, you know, now look what he's got going on the last couple of years and, you know, what's Gary in his sixth or seventh year at Missouri. So, I mean, I think that people got to be willing to ride these things out. And you don't want to get in a situation where you're just, you know, a revolving door with coaches, you know, because not only and is there no continuity in the program, but then it becomes looked at as a place that's kind of a graveyard for coaches that you don't want to go there.
But, Terry, I'm just going to come back at you and say, we're not Missouri. I don't want to be compared to Missouri. Our standards should not be held to Missouri. Steve Peterson.
Well, and that's old news. That's old news.
What these guys did to this program and decimated it.
That's old news. You got to give Bo Pelini a chance to recover.
Absolutely, and I'm willing to give Bo Pelini. I don't know. How many recruiting classes, Terry, is it, can you tell the fan to calm down? You're going to have to sit through pain for how many years?
I really think it. I mean, I said this with Bill and his staff, too. I really think it's got to be three or four. I really think that you have to have a chance to get the guys that you want, that you bring in, and those guys have to become older players in your system. Now, you know, Bob Stoops down at Oklahoma with the national championship in 2000 was kind of a different situation. And we all know, you know, the talent that was running around there at Oklahoma when he arrived. But, you know, in most scenarios, I really think that, you know, three and for sure 4 years to let players that the staff brings in be the, you know, juniors and seniors in that class. I mean, that's what it's going to take.
Terry Douglas, sports editor from the Grand Island Independent, joins us for just another moment. Then he's going to go hear a little bit about what Coach Pelini has to say. Terry, I think you were pretty close to on the same page with most of the media pundits that had Nebraska around 7-5, maybe 6-6. Luckily, 8-4. It doesn't look like 8-4, but this is just one game, and everybody is conceding a loss to Texas Tech on Saturday. 3-3, just like we kind of figured they would be, but folks are finding that hard to swallow. What are we looking for Saturday? Because again, a lot of people don't think this will even be close.
Right, you know, it's difficult to imagine, especially just, you know, in the backdrop of what happened last time Nebraska went to Lubbock with the 70-10 and the, you know, that kind of thought. But you know, that was a long time ago. These are pretty much completely different players. You know, on paper you look at it and you have to assume, I think that it, you know, Nebraska is not going to fare well. But then again, this is college football and we see, you know, things happen crazy all the time. That's not something I'm going to predict, but I'm certainly not going to say that Nebraska can't come up and play a better game since they've seen, you know, a system like Missouri and they know, you know, what the speed is of a Big 12 spread. I'd certainly think that there would be some areas that they could possibly improve in.
Terry, do you have a Doug and Daddy t-shirt?
Not yet. I'm waiting. I check my mailbox every day.
Will you wear it Thursday?
Oh, you mean on television?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We'd have to clear that with the NTV boys, won't we?
Not if you just sneak it on. Daddy, anything left for Terry?
Well, Terry, I guess, you know, we really haven't addressed anything on the defensive side of the ball. And, of course, that's been one of the big disappointments. And Anthony West now coming out and saying, well, we couldn't get our calls. Communication was a problem. That's something that really concerns and basically scares the Bagongos out of me going into a hostile environment like Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. We heard that, I remember, a few years ago against Kansas when they had that overtime game here at Memorial Stadium, and there was a revelation of defensive players not being able to hear each other getting the calls, and everybody was kind of shaking, you know, shrugging their shoulders at that one. But, yeah, you do bring up a good point, and I think, you know, Bo addressed a lot of that in the last couple of days with his game plan, and you know, I think they thought that they had a good plan. But as he pointed out, if you put out a game plan and your players can't execute it or it can't be executed, then it's not a good idea, and that does fall on the coaching staff, and you know, they're willing to admit that.
Finally, Terry, what's going to be the bombshell question today? Somebody's going to ask something.
I just hope that nobody asked if, you know, they're going to put a spy on Graham Harrell. That's all I'm hoping. Nobody asked.
When are they going to hand out the black shirts, right?
Yeah, that one might be down the road.
Well, Terry Douglas, sports editor of the Grand Island Independent, Nebraska's talent obviously right now just doesn't match up with some of the teams that are ranked in the top 10, and it's going to take a while to coach these kids up, and I guess that's what the coaches are trying to say without saying it point blank.
Yeah, exactly. Like we said, I mean, that's the thing that's kind of, you know, and I know it's hard for a lot of people to believe because we've been reading about a lot of these players for the last 4 years, but, you know, the stuff that is written about players when, you know, before they arrive and how great they are doesn't mean anything until they start proving it on the field.
All right, go get some chow, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Terry. Terry Douglas, sports editor, Grand Island Independent, joining us live from the Memorial Stadium press box as they get ready for Nebraska's press conference. Of course, Joe Gann's already speaking, John Cook speaks, and then Bo Pelini will be coming up, and we'll be bringing you that, as we do every Tuesday, in its entirety right here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, I just think the discipline, you know what, I don't know why, because I guess you go back to the summer, Doug, and you're right. You know, I think that a lot of people expect us to be, well, I thought we beat Virginia Tech, I'll be honest with you. But I fully expected to lose to Missouri, and I fully expected to lose to Texas Tech. And I just think it's the way. It's we're not in position to make plays. We're basically a laughing stock at times on defense. And I think that's very, very frustrating. And I'm not calling for anybody's heads. I hear people say Barney Cotton wasn't a good hire. Well, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Sean Watson should have got rid of him with the rest of the Callahan goofball clowns. I hear those things. I'm not sure any knee-jerk reaction is immediate. You know what? I heard somebody say when Sean Watson's name was brought up, well, then if Sean Watson's so terrible of a coach, why did Nick Saban? Why did Nick Saban want him so bad? Okay, I can go back. Okay, maybe he's all right. I just don't know why we can't knock somebody down on the line of scrimmage and get any push at all. I don't know why we can't get a yard and a half push. We have no holes to run through. I don't even know. Anybody that argues the running back point, I don't know how anybody can argue that because nobody's had a hole to run through. Nobody's had an exciting, oh my gosh, look at Lucky go. Boy, he turns on the burners when he makes that cut. He's never had a chance to make a cut. Neither's Roy Helu. And Quint Castillo, oh, how exciting when he comes in and dives over the pile for that three-quarter yard that we had to have on third and one.
1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Ladies and gentlemen, every once in a while, great, great ones come out of retirement. Michael Jordan, out of retirement. You can start, you can go down the line. Brett Favre, out of retirement.
Gretzky.
There's just so many. H-Man from Riverdale, out of retirement. Gave us his last email when Bo Pelini was hired, which is still framed with respect here in the studios of the Doug and Daddy Show. But H-Man has fired an email off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. I just want to say, as I've said all along, and I hope, I honestly think, and you know, we jokingly pat ourselves on the back from time to time when we guess something right or happen to hit something right. I think I've been the voice of reason this time. You've been the lunatic for the last year. I mean, which is totally fine. I just don't understand what you're looking for. You're wanting more than what is there. And when I say you, I mean you, Tony. I mean you, Husker fan, that thought we were going to go win the Big 12 this year. You know, I don't know what you were looking for. There were going to be hard times. And, folks, if Nebraska wins the Big 12 championship in 5 years, you should be damn happy. 5 years. If it happens before then, great. Outstanding. Great. And I think the advantage that Bo Pelini has is that even next year, I mean, he's still going to have the Chargers going. But you know what? I don't want to call it shtick, but the way that he handles his players is only going to go so far if they don't win. You can only have that go get them attitude so many times, because after a while, if you're going 500, they're going to go, eh. You know, and you don't want those players. And hopefully we won't have those players. But finding a perfect player and finding a perfect system. Remember, Tony, Alabama, 6-6 last year, got beat by Louisiana Monroe, and today they are number 2 in the country. So it can happen. But just don't expect it to happen, not even overnight. You're not even giving Bo Pelini overnight. I don't know what you were expecting. This is exactly what we thought would happen. There has been nothing. Now, maybe you didn't think it would be 52-17 on Saturday. I'll give you that. That's fine. Whatever. And the coaches and folks on Nebraska staff can sugarcoat it a little, say, well, it wasn't as bad as the score indicated. Well, yeah, it was. And don't worry about that. You were going to lose to Missouri. Everybody knew Saturday Missouri was going to win. I mean everybody. Nobody in Lincoln was calling for a Nebraska upset. Nobody. Even the drunkest, most delusional Husker fan was not calling for an upset. I hope we keep it close. You know what? When you're hoping to keep it close, you know what the reality of the situation is. So why did it shock you after the game that it was any different than what it was supposed to be? And if Nebraska gets beat by 40 in Lubbock, which nobody wants on Saturday, don't be surprised. Nebraska used to routinely do this to everybody else. You didn't see everybody else expecting to hang with the Big Red because they knew they were going to get drubbed. I don't understand why anybody should be up in arms. I mean, when you're 7-5, 6-6, you're going to have problems. You're not going to be a top 10 team. Nebraska has a ways to go, and it's not going to be fixed this year. It's not going to be fixed this week. It's not going to be fixed next week. It's not going to be fixed in the Oklahoma game. It's not going to be fixed in December. The only chance this team has, get to a bowl game, get that extra month or 3 weeks of practice, whatever it may be, and just keep on rolling. It's a long process, and the reason Nebraska fan is upset about this is because they had to put up with what happened the last year and a half with Bill Callahan. And you know what the problem is? Big 12 North champions 2 years ago, and last year in 8 games, everything crushed down, and Nebraska fan actually thinks that they've been 2-10 for the last decade. Unbelievable. We'll take a break. Be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Most of the sponsor messages you are about to hear did not realize their commercials were going to be in the Doug and Daddy Show. Pity.
Yes, but do it now. Yes, we still have the fifth wheel sale going on at Eagle Crest in Grand Island, but slimming down on numbers. Yes, you can save up to $10,000 on our Colorado or Cruisers and $20,000 on a luxury Cameo. And we have a one-of-a-kind 2007 40-foot Genesis motorhome. You want to know how much you can save on that during this Eagle Crest sale? About $100,000, and Jim will throw in a $5,000 fuel card to boot. It's time right now, the end-of-the-year sale on West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Walter, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
Call Fidelke Heating and Air today.
So I'm thinking it's that time of year. You know, football, beer season. But my wife thinks it's...
Honey, help me decorate the house in various shades of orange. Throw fake leaves and plastic pumpkins everywhere.
Season. I need a break.
football and an ice-cold beer.
Escape to Cunningham's Journal, your good time headquarters this fall. Cunningham's has every NFL game on every Sunday, all in high def. Enjoy food and drink specials, too. But don't wait till Sundays. Visit any night of the week and escape the...
Honey, help me.
Zone. Cunningham's Journal. Downtown Kearney. Face it, guys, just going to the gym won't give you the body you want. You need a nutritional plan. GNC of Kearney and Hastings has your plan, featuring the new Weibolic Extreme 60 Protein, sports vitamins and Vitapacks, plus amplified creatine, glutamine, and every other essential product for your body enhancement needs. And ladies, don't think we've forgotten you. We have a wide array of beauty and healthcare products as well. And when you make your purchase with a GNC Gold Card, you save 20%. GNC, Hastings, and Kearney. Face it, guys, without GNC's help, you'll just be...
the little man in the gym.
Hi, this is Phil Gordon, professional poker player. You're listening to ESPN Superstation in Central Nebraska on 1460 and 1550 AM.
You have to figure that the only golf course in Central Nebraska with a global positioning system would have a good shot at spotting you some great savings. Indian Head Golf Course has specially priced their pass card memberships, so if you buy one now, you got the remainder of this golf season and all of next. That's 16 months of golf for the price of 12. Speaking of fall, all the Husker games are on the tube in the clubhouse, so shoot around and stay for the football. Visit Central Nebraska's only GPS-equipped golf course, Indian Head. Go to IndianHeadGolf.com or call 308-381-4653.
We'll see mostly sunny skies across the area as we head through the day today with high temperatures in the upper 60s. Northerly winds will also stay at about 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect clear skies and light winds, lows near 40 degrees. Then with more sunshine on Wednesday, we'll see a high of around 74. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 48.
Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show, because it's Tuesday, a chance for you to win a $25 gift card. And H-Man from Riverdale, first email out of retirement. We're bringing that to you. Up next here in just a moment, we're going to talk a little volleyball with Ed Rouse at Minden, but we're going to get back to the emails. We're going to get to your thoughts on Nebraska football. I could tell by keeping you speechless going into the break that you knew I was right.
No, yeah, I don't know that you're right. I think the part of the frustration stems that many of us we fell into the trap and we believed what we were hearing about, you know what, at least we've got the talent here. At least the talent's here. Well, in about four games or, you know what, even against San Jose State, I guess you could say, maybe the talent isn't here. And I think that's just frustrating and difficult for some of us to take, because we believed everything we were reading, everything we were told.
And by the way, Pete Carroll, 6-6, his first season at USC. By the way, Ball State is 6-0 and ranked in the top 25 for the first time in the program's history. Folks, realize sometimes it is as bad as it seems, and sometimes it's not. Kansas destroyed us. Kansas had one loss and went to a BCS bowl game and came away with a huge, huge victory.
Fair. I they're all valid points, Doug, but I just think that we were just fed and led to believe.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with what's happening right now on the field. I mean, you knew in the back of your mind when you're not good, evidently all this isn't true. I mean, don't believe everything you read. Believe everything I say, just don't believe everything you read. Coming up later on this week, the head football coach of Texas Tech, Mike Leach, expected to join us Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show. Also, Tri-City Storm coach Tom Rudrud, 1-1 in his opening weekend, and the Storm will have their home opener Friday. Also going to catch up with Jay Christensen, the defensive coordinator at Morningside, the number 5 team in the country, as they get ready to welcome in Hastings College. Of course, Bob Jensen joins us on the program tomorrow. We'll catch up with Adam Central football coach Bill Carlin. It's the Battle of Hastings, Adam Central Hastings High this week. That's just among our guests coming up later this week. And don't forget Bo Pelini press conference in its entirety coming your way at 12 noon. But right now we're going to switch gears a little bit because, as I said at the top of the show, we've known that there's a lot of great volleyball, and we've touched on it. It's almost become a fact that I guess we're just accepting that there's so much great volleyball out there, we maybe not talk about it quite as much as we should. And one of the teams that continues to do very well, the Minden Whippets, and we are pleased to be joined by head coach Ed Rouse as they get ready to host a quadrangular tonight with state-rated Wood River, Ravenna, and then also Shelton coming in. And, Coach, good morning.
Good
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, as usual, Husker Talk dominates dominates this whole thing, buddy.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if anybody can figure that out, they're pretty wise.
Well, you have to handle the ladies, and evidently you're pretty wise as well, coming off that state final appearance last year, losing some the big hitters on the outside, the middles, and still being able to filter around. Let's talk about your season first. No doubt that early on, some real stiff competition. You've already played your conference tournament, and yet you've come through all this, and it seems like maybe the ship is headed in the right direction as we head towards the second half of the season.
Well, I think any time that you come off of a great season like we were able to have last year, that you really want to pick up right there. And through the summer, it looked like we had that in place, and we do have some great players here. I think it just took a while to fit the roles and find the right spots for each kid. And I can't tell you for sure we've done that. We have great depth with 8 seniors and as well some underclassmen that are playing real well. But this just seems like we haven't hit that yet. And last year at this time, I think we're probably about where Ravenna is right now. That really felt like you had everything exactly right and things are going right. So for us, I can just hope that day's out there yet. You know the kids are working hard, so...
And I guess I look night in, night out, it seems the level of volleyball has went up so far. Is there ever come a time where you just want to sit back and go, can we not play maybe a substandard team with all, you know, with everything that's going on and give us an easy win, just give us a little bit of a break?
We've had a few of those, and that even this year, we're not that far away from where we were last year record-wise, but our wild card is a lot lower, and so some of the teams that we played aren't maybe having the seasons that they have in the past. So that's kind of hurt our wild card, and that I see what you're saying, and it is nice to go somewhere on a given night and know that you can probably play most all of your kids and relax a little bit and not worry about the scout and that. But if you don't have good teams, then you don't keep your team up there in wild card, and it really can be kind of bonkers then too. So you don't have it one way or the other.
Yeah, not a lot of 500 teams on Minden's schedule either. There, the 4 of the 5 losses, and we won't even talk about Valentine, but. Kearney Catholic 13-3, Ogallala 18-1, Grand Island Central Catholic 16-1, St. Paul 16-2. That's 4 of the 5 losses for Minden this year. Coach, getting back to some of your personnel, this team really is built around Lindsay Satorius, a special young lady. Obviously, when you come from a volleyball family, and of course Patty, her mom, the former coach at Hastings and UNK, she knew what she was doing when she walked onto your program, and now she was the senior left behind, I guess, so to speak, from the big hitters from last year. But you're building around her, and she seems to be the stone for this team.
You know, she is. This is her fourth year of being a starter, and so I don't think there's any tricks or anything different that happened this year that she didn't already know about. And obviously she knew all the girls because she's grown up with these girls as well. And she is one thing that's brought a consistency level, even though we lost some kids last year that took the big swings. She's been one thing that stayed constant. And one thing that probably at times has helped me to keep from beating our dog up. And so it is nice to have her back. And I know we're going to miss her last year or next year, but she has been a real consistent player over her time, and it's going to be hard without her next year.
Ed, talk a little bit about the quad going on tonight, and maybe single out a couple players that are standing out. People want to see great volleyball. You're going to get a chance to see it tonight.
Well, tonight we start with Shelton at 4:15, and Shelton's going to have a decent team. They lost some kids, too. They have a 12-5 record right now, but they have a little Brannigan girl who's really good. She's number 6 for Shelton, and she's a good player front and back row, and she's not very tall, but, boy, she's a piece of dynamite. And so I'm expecting she'll be a good one in the first match that we play. Some of our kids, we've got a pretty balanced team, and so there isn't a girl out there that really lights it up every night as far as high numbers, but instead we're pretty consistent. Our most consistent middle is Neely Stadler. She's a junior, and she's really done a nice job this year. She started last year as well. She's about a 5'10 kid. And then on our left sides, we have Erica Beck's a senior. She's about 5'10", and this is her first starting season. And so for her, it's been neat to see her fill in and really do a nice job. And we got a freshman in Hallie Bauer. She's going to be a special kid for the next 3 years after this year, which is nice. Other than that, Ellen Peterson's going to be a 3-year starter. Kat Christensen's another middle up front that those two are kind of rotating just because we have that depth right now. Our probably one of our most consistent swingers is Brittany Hollinger, and she plays our right side, and she's about a 5'9 kid. She started for 3 years, so she spent a lot of time with Lindsay, and where they play next to each other on the right side all the time. Just their time they've spent together and how they work together really makes that combination special too. So that kind of hits our team in Shelton, and I think everybody knows when the next match comes up with Ravenna and Wood River, that Ravenna's got some big dogs in there with Pernicek and Irvin, and a lot of those other kids have really stepped up now, even if it's chipping kills here and there or getting the dig that they need, that their team is really on fire. So there's going to be some good kids. You know, the Fisher girl from Wood River is a great swinger, and then Coach Heiss's daughter is a freshman, and she's probably one of the best freshmen I've seen for a long time that'll be playing for Wood River as well. So there are going to be a lot of good kids tonight playing in the quad here.
Yeah, she's got some coaching to overcome, doesn't she?
Yeah, right. No, she can just take care of that.
Well, it won't be too long till you run into that same situation, but we'll talk about that at a later date. Hey, Ed, we will look forward to seeing you this afternoon and all the matches on Power 99, and thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Best of luck tonight.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Ed Rouse, head volleyball coach of the Minden Whippets. They were last year's C1 state runner-up, and they're 15-5 going into tonight's match. Shelton, 12-5 going into tonight's match. Ravenna, 12-5 going into tonight's match. Number one in C2, and Wood River is ranked in C1 at number 8, 9, 10, depending where you look. They're 13-2. 4:15, the first match, Minden and Shelton, followed at approximately 5:30, Ravenna, Wood River, then the Consolation and Championship, all on Power 99. And as I said last bit before we go into a break here, that's not the only good volleyball tonight, because the new ranking's out today, and a lot of the area teams are up there. And got them here somewhere. Aurora is in action tonight as they take on Kearney High. Both are ranked. Kearney's at Aurora. Hastings is at Northwest. Both ranked in B. Adams Central's at C1, number one, Grand Island Central Catholic. We'll take a break. Come back. We've got more emails to get to, including H-Man from Riverdale, The Return, and don't forget Bo Pelini at the top of the hour here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All right, look, Doug and Daddy don't work for beer and pretzels. Well, they did for the first 3 months, till somebody told them that they should be paid. Well, anyway, they'll be back after these commercial messages.
So you want the Department of Labor to make the weekend officially start on Thursday?
Well, Buffalo Wild Wings has Boneless Thursdays, where you get specially priced boneless wings. It pretty much already feels like the weekend, so why not?
But what about Friday, sir?
Friday's gone.
So would Saturday still be on Saturday?
No, Saturday would be the old Friday, which is now Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Now, how do I get this weekend start on Thursday thing going?
Well, the guy you need to talk to is out till next Thursday, which would be Friday, so call back the following Tuesday, which is actually Monday.
Well said.
Weekend start on Thursdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. You have to be here. Price and participation vary by location.
At Microtel, everyone's in seventh heaven. Is it because we have free wireless internet in every room, our MicroPass frequent guest program, free get up and show breakfast, or the free local and long distance calls? Maybe it's because for the seventh year in a row, Microtel was again ranked highest in guest satisfaction among economy budget hotels by J.D. Power and Associates. Wow, 7 years in a row. Somebody must really like us. Book a great hotel at an even greater price. Visit MicrotelIn.com. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to JDPower.com.
Generally, when you rib someone, it sounds like you're kidding around. But there's no kidding around with the ribbing you'll take at Skeeter Barnes tonight. Because Tuesday, ribs are king at Skeeter Barnes, and everyone knows it's good to be king. All you can eat ribs smoked as only Skeeters can. Served with a variety of sauces up to the sassiest you can take. Only $18.99, all you can eat tonight.
This is Eric Hellriggle, Skeeter Barnes General Manager. We're looking forward to your appetite for ribs challenging us tonight at Skeeter Barnes.
Skeeter Barnes, just south of the I-80 Interchange, Kearney.
It's the Outdoor Spectacular at Graham Tire. All tires in stock are on sale. Buy three selected Cooper tires and get the fourth free. Get a limited Ray Kelly print with purchase of any four tires. Register to win a $500 Shields All Sports Shopping Spree or a guided pheasant hunt for two at K&M Hunting. Get a $50 cash rebate with purchase of four select Cooper tires or up to $100 rebate with purchase of four select Goodyear tires on your Goodyear credit card. It's the Outdoor Spectacular today through Saturday, October 18th. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
With four sizes of our specialty T-bone steak, all steaks hand-cut fresh right in the steakhouse. Home the 4-pound Texas Challenge with the biggest variety of steaks in the state. And three sizes of prime rib voted the best in Grand Island, where quality, value, and variety is our promise. Great tasting steaks served by friendly people. There's no doubt about it. We are the place for steak. Reminding you to show our military troops your support by wearing red on Fridays.
Steak's done right, Texas T-bone.
Hi, everybody. This is Denny Matthews of the Kansas City Royals, and you are listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation at 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see mostly sunny skies across the area as we head through the day today with high temperatures in the upper 60s. Northerly winds will also stay at about 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect clear skies and light winds, lows near 40 degrees. Then with more sunshine on Wednesday, we'll see a high of around 74. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now, 48.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, Bo Pelini, top of the hour. How is Texas Tech different than Missouri? He's going to tell you. Coming up, we've got some emails we need to dive into from the Dent Popper inbox, but it is Tuesday, Daddy.
And that means, Troutman's Tuesday trivia.
I heard you enjoyed some Troutman's last evening.
Yes, I did. I enjoy Troutman's all the time, but you know what? You don't even need to go there and say, Carrie, I need three New York strips because I'm firing up the grill. You know what? Try their ham. They've got pork. They've got chicken as well. It's just better than anywhere else you can get your meat. I'm a firm believer. It doesn't matter what you get. I just know it's better.
And you know meat.
I do know meat. I'm a big fan.
1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Should we do it on the air, Derek? Or should we just have them guess it? I'm going to tell you what. We're going to have you take the phone calls. We'll see how long it goes, because while you're taking the answers, we're going to be reading some emails. And, folks, we'll see if you know the answer to Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. 1-888-455-ESPN for the $25 gift card to Troutman's. Nebraska is a 21-point underdog now. Started at 17, 21-point underdog. So it looks like the Huskers are going to start 0-2 in conference. When was the last year Nebraska started 0-2 in the conference? The last year that Nebraska was 0-2 in the conference, what year? That's the Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the emails. Hey, guys, this is from Luke and Carney. I agree with Daddy. I agree with Daddy that the running back issue at this point is a non-issue, and it lies directly on the offensive line. It's impossible for the running backs to consistently gain yards if there are zero holes for them to run through. You need proof? Then look no farther than last night's game. Adrian Peterson could be a Hall of Fame caliber running back, and when his offensive line fails to make holes, he fails to gain yards. 4 years ago, Larry Johnson was the next best thing in Kansas City and was gaining at will. Well, guess what happened? The veteran offensive line starts falling apart. All-pros Willie Rofe and Will Shields retired. And all of a sudden, Larry Johnson can't gain a yard. No, he had two Sunday. Two yards Sunday. He didn't get worse. His offensive line did. It all starts up front. And right now, it doesn't matter if we put Reggie Bush and LaDainian Tomlinson in our backfield. We aren't going to run the ball consistently with the play of our offensive line. Luke and Carney. Thanks, Luke.
Well, now delusional Husker fan has chimed in as well. As much as it pains me, I completely agree with Doug. That pains me as well, delusional. We all hope for a 10-win season, but anyone who's watched this team for the past couple years know that Bo had a huge task in front of him. Feel that Bo is going to need at least 3 years to not only get his players, but to get kids brainwashed with his philosophy and get rid of the Billy C philosophy. I must admit, though, I've never been a big Barney Cotton fan. Wouldn't mind seeing him go, but this is no time to be cleaning cupboards. Well, get back to where we all want to be, but it's sure not happening within the next couple of years. The best thing we can do is support the team, hope for the best, and hopefully get to 6 wins and the end of that bowl game. Thanks, Delusional.
Thanks for agreeing, Delusional. You the man. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, Derek informs me we do have a winner.
We do. Lauren from St. Paul knew that it was 1968. I think he knew Kansas won, but he was Kansas beat us, and I think he wasn't sure who the other one was and was kind of inquiring. Don't know if you have that info over there.
Nebraska had lost its first league game of a season only 5 times since then before last week's setback. Missouri. Tony's looking it up. It almost happened in 73 because that was Tom Osborne's first season. Nebraska lost to Missouri 13-12, but bounced back with a 10-9 win over Kansas. 1968, Daddy. Nebraska lost to
Kansas, 13-23, and 14-16 to Missouri.
So that was the last time Nebraska has started conference play 0-2. 1968. Congratulations, Lauren and St. Paul. Appreciate that.
But listen to this. That was the year Bob Devaney, who went 6-4. The next year, 9-2. So things...
God, would that be good enough? Oh, my God, would that be good enough? Could we handle 9-2? Oh, no, that's not 11-0.
And that's starting off the season with a loss to USC in 69.
Well, there you go. Back to, you speak of USC. I go to the Dent Popper inbox. Considering that even Barry Switzer once said, John McKay drives more by more talent on his way to work than we have in the entire state of Oklahoma. Pete Carroll 6-6 in his first year. Craig and Kearney. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, DentPopperInbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We go back there. Dent Popper, of course, home of the Arma Lining. They've been also specializing in paintless dent repair for years. Check it out today. Dent Popper on the Bricks, downtown. Kearney, Scott, and Joel give you a free estimate on what you need. This comes from Chris in Holdridge. Says, Doug, talking about my rant earlier. It was a mini rant. Face wasn't red, didn't really raise voice, just not much of a... says, I understand your rant about why Husker fans should not be up in arms about our record at this point in the season, but I think most folks would agree that the main source of frustration is not with the defense, it's with the offense. Last year the defense was terrible, but the offense could still put points on the board. We've got the offensive coordinator back, experienced skill position players back. We don't know that. I mean, the running backs are supposed to be good. Joe Gans, yeah. And we have Todd Peterson and Nate Swift.
I would think that those are the two that have lived up to the what hype there was about them.
And an experienced O-line. Why can't we mirror the success we had last year on offense with all that talent back? Most fans knew in their heart of hearts that we would get beat by Missouri, but what's tough to swallow is when we can't put points on the board to give our defense a break. Chris Holder, you're right. We talked about it yesterday, Chris. They're the 12th-ranked defense in the Big 12. Probably not anymore. They are the 12th-ranked defense in the Big 12. I'm looking here. We go to the phone lines, 1-888-455-ESPN.
Here's Ernie from Wood River, guys.
Ernie, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, guys. Long time no chat. How's it going?
Well, I'm okay, but, you know, the big fella here, he's sweating a little.
Well, I just want to say, after watching the last couple games, so far with this 4- and 5-star recruiting crap, it's baloney because the talent level's not there. I mean, that's what I'm saying. And you can't, and I agree with the one comment from the other gentleman as far as you're not going to get an offensive line that has been drilled to pass, pass, pass to go in to run, run, run. And we got to control the ball on the ground because we don't have a big-time receiver. Yeah, we've got good receivers, but we ain't got that big-time guy to go to bust a big play.
Yeah.
And Sean Watson, people need to back off. I don't know if you listen to any of the 590 show in Omaha. They are right in his butt. Give the guy a chance. You know, give him 3-4 years, and then we'll ride him out on a rail if nothing works.
Ernie, I agree with you, and I think you hit it right on the head, but that's how those four-hour sports talk shows continue, because you get a bunch of nuts on there. Great call, Ernie. Thanks so much. And by the way, I'll be in Wood River on football. Coming up Friday night, we've got the Mid and Wood River contest looking for. Nebraska's defense right now in the Big 12 overall is 9th. Pass defense and pass efficiency defense is 11th. Texas Tech's Big 12 efficiency on the pass is 9th. So Joe Gans, again, ought to be able to toss the ball around the yard a little bit. But Nebraska's numbers in anything are not good in the conference. In fact, we are only in the top half of the conference, and we've got rushing offense, passing offense, total offense, scoring offense, defense, sacks, turnover margin, sacks allowed. Nebraska is in the top half of the Big 12, this is through all games, in these categories. 6th in rushing defense, 6th in kickoff returns, 5th in sacks, 5th in tackle for loss, 2nd in punt returns. But when Nate Swift throws one to the house for you, that will bring up the average. So that's it. That's it.
You know, special teams is something we haven't really touched on. Why, when we kick the ball off and we don't get it through the back of the end zone, which Audie does at times, at other times the ball happens to be on the 10-yard line, does it seem that we're just nowhere to be found down there? I mean, there are gaping holes, and they get the ball at the 35, 40-yard line, and that's like a touchdown-saving tackle. And it's not just happened one or two times. That's been a consistent, a reoccurring theme with our kickoff team.
A couple other stats. Nebraska is dead last in the conference in net punting. Three-yard punts shall not help that. 11th in the pass defense, 11th in the pass efficiency. We need to take a break. Bo Pelini's press conference coming up at noon. Also, H-Man from Riverdale returns with an email after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two gentlemen who are known for their razor-sharp wit, insightful commentaries, probing interview techniques, and charm. These broadcasting mega men will be back right after this. All right, you two, I said what you wanted. Now, where's my money?
Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd on ESPN Radio. I've said it before, I won't endorse a company unless I know the people who run it and I buy into them. Well, that's what you get with Vizio, the number one U.S.-based flat panel TV company in America. I've got two Vizios myself, and I've been saying this now for over a year. With a rough economy, why pay for gas, parking, food, stay at home, watch it on TV. Say it out loud, better quality at lower prices. It makes a lot of sense. VizioTV.com.
Guys, if you're looking for dress shirts that work, come to the men's store inside JCPenney and get great deals on Stafford. Stafford Performance dress shirts have stain-repel technology and are wrinkle-free, so they're always easy on the eye. And the innovative comfort collar, well, is easy on the neck. Plus, the best part right now, all Stafford dress shirts are only $21.99. Work smart, dress smarter with Stafford. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out.
So I'm thinking it's that time of year. You know, football, beer season. But my wife thinks it's...
Honey, help me decorate the house in various shades of orange. Throw fake leaves and plastic pumpkins everywhere.
Season. I need a break. Football and an ice-cold beer.
Escape to Cunningham's Journal, your good time headquarters this fall. Cunningham's has every NFL game on every Sunday, all in high def. Enjoy food and drink specials, too. But don't wait till Sundays. Visit any night of the week and escape the...
Honey, help me.
Zone. Cunningham's Journal. Downtown Kearney.
Hi, folks. This is Daryl Walter, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
Call Fidelke Heating and Air today. Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see mostly sunny skies across the area as we head through the day today with high temperatures in the upper 60s. Northerly winds will also stay at about 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we can expect clear skies and light winds, lows near 40 degrees. Then with more sunshine on Wednesday, we'll see a high of around 74. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 55.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our producer, Derek, has just informed us that his guilty pleasure is that he's in love with Cloris Leachman, wow. Dancing with the Stars. Wow.
How does she talk in front of those judges without just being absolutely filthy? If you saw her on the roast, she's the dirtiest one.
Oh boy. We had Dave Plond on at the start of the year from Heartland Lutheran, head football coach, and you know, bad situation. You may have read about it in the Independent. They're going to have to forfeit their football game with Hampton this week, and it's just as bad a situation for Hampton. You only get 8 games, and then you don't get to play one. And it's nothing that they've done, but, you know, as the Independent story read over the weekend, you know, you thought at their fairly new program they were going to have 22, 23 kids out for eight-man, which isn't a ton, but it's a smaller school. I mean, it is D2. And then they didn't end up getting that many. They got 16 to 18. And a couple kids got banged up here, and a couple kids got banged up there. A couple kids quit. Now they're down to eight kids and can't field a team this week. And they hope to have a couple of those kids at least healed up so they can finish their schedule. I know they got North Loop Scotia, I believe it is, next week. And, you know, you want to be able to play for the sake of you and the other team. So hopefully the gang over there at Heartland Lutheran will be able to get things righted on the ship. Also, the preseason basketball coaches poll are out in the GPAC, and the Hastings College women and their brand new head coach are picked to finish second. Coach Jeff Dittman and the crew received two of the 13 first place votes. Morningside, an overwhelming selection to take the title, followed by Hastings Concordian and Northwestern of Iowa. On the men's side, Dakota Wesleyan is a unanimous selection, followed by Northwestern of Iowa, then Morningside. Hastings College picked right there in the middle, seventh in the 13-team league. And the teams start their season at the end of the month on Halloween.
New coach, second, so expectations mighty high, as always, Hastings College. We go to the Dent Popper inbox, and before we get to H-Man from Riverdale, Jared chimes in and says, give me
Subway, Jared?
I think it must be Subway.
This is the same one we got an email about that told him to shut his mouth about the Cubs, and he likes their sandwiches. Anyway, go ahead.
Give me $100 on Tech and the 21 points and 75 on the overs. I think Tech will clear the overs by themselves. Doug, skip the strip club this week and put your dollar bills on Tech.
Thanks, Jared. Ladies and gentlemen, coming out of retirement, H-Man in Riverdale. Just checking the email on the wall here. The last email from H-Man, December 3rd, the day after Bo Pelini was hired. Today, on Tuesday, October the 7th, H-Man from Riverdale says, greetings, Husker fans, and the rest of you fakes who wear red each Saturday but spend every second of the game trying to find the Lyle Bremser call on your radios. By the way, Jim Rose was in the press box this week. Not Rome, Jim Rose. Let me make this as clear as I can, H-Man says. If you sell your car to someone, and as they drive away from your home, the car runs out of gas, you can't blame the new owner for not having put gas into the tank, or not knowing how to drive the car, or not using the proper driving technique. But this is what some, in fact many, most of you are doing to Bo Pelini. He's a great coach, but he can't turn Billy Joe's recruits into Big 12 football players. These players are giving great effort, but great effort by slow players is only great effort by slow players. The final 2 weeks have exposed the final dirty little secret of the Bill Callahan regime. His great recruiting classes were in reality substandard and slow. Anyone who is still on the Callahan bandwagon has less credibility than members of the Paris and Brittany R. Smart Club. It took Bill Callahan 4 years to make the Nebraska football program a complete national laughingstock. The least all of you should do is give Bo Pelini more than 5 games to repair the damage. Now wise up before someone sticks a tornado on you. H-Man from Riverdale. H-Man, it's a pleasure to have you back.
Yes, look forward to many more emails from him. By the way, this is a list that was comprised of several of the recruits that have came in the program, and whether they made some noise or some on
at the time were deemed top recruits.
Right.
Fours, maybe a five in there.
Harrison Beck, bust. Chris Brooks, bust so far. Haven't heard much about Chris. Jordan Congdon, complete and utter bust. Failure, whatever you want to call that. Nick Covey, he was Glendale, Arizona, Mountain Ridge High School. He's a bust so far. You know, Barry Cryer, defensive tackle, solid player for Nebraska. Ola DeGundaro, they're calling solid player for Nebraska. And you get to Cody Glenn, you know, Philip Dillard, say what you want about those two. Wallace Franklin, big wide receiver out of Beaumont, Texas, never made it to campus. David Harvey, tight end, 6'4", 230 pounds, out of Maryland. Never saw him. Never was around. Franz Hardy had some big moments, but never you wouldn't ooh and ah when Franz Hardy's name is brought up. Those are just a few of the names that on this list that bust, or maybe a couple of them. I guess you look at Barry Cryer and Ola DeGundaro, maybe lived up to some of the hyperbole that was wrote about them.
It's a Doug and Danny Show Tuesday. That means Bo Pelini's press conference. We will hear from the coach next. A couple of notes before we get out of here and go to Bo Pelini, and then wrap the show up with some comments after the press conference. UNK Volleyball is home tonight against Peru State. District Golf yesterday, they played in the rain at Meadowlark Hills. It's a head-scratcher to me, but whatever. Kearney finished fourth. They take the top three teams. Class A is in Norfolk this time around. B and C will be at Grand Island. And Kearney's Tasha Kider made the state. And I apologize if I didn't nail that one right. I haven't heard that name before as far as the golf goes. And also Hannah Houston from Grand Island qualified in the A2 as Grand Island finished fourth in that run. They have golf going on at Meadowlark Hills today. They did postpone the one at Southern Hills yesterday, so they're playing today. Also action going on in Ogallala and Grand Island's Jackrabbit Run. We will take a break. Sports update here for you, and then Bo Pelini at his weekly press conference. Stay with us on this extended Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show.
All right, this has gone far enough.
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, dude, this is really cool stuff.
More coolness in a moment with Doug and Danny at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Mid-America Market Information.
Market information time. Hello, everybody. This is Larry Steckline, and after a disaster yesterday, things are perking up a little bit around the country as far as livestock and grain markets are concerned. First, on the grain side, losing a little ground here on corn. We started off better this morning with a better market all across the board, but right now December corn's unchanged at 424. May's down 2 3/4 at 452. So corn battling a little bit here. Wheat in Kansas City, though, is up 14 3/4 for December at 643 a bushel. July new crop up 14 3/4 at 683. Soybeans, November 944 is up 22 cents. January's 957 up 18.5. May next year is up 15.5 at 978. Meals up $5 to $7 a ton, and bean oil's up 53 to 85 points. Over on the Merck today, December cattle up $1, 95.77. Feb 95.75 up $1 and a nickel. April 96.15 up 77 cents. Feeder cattle November up $1.35 at 99.15. January 99.10 up $1.70. March $1.20 up $1.65. So pretty nice strength here. Hogs are up to anywhere from 85 cents to $1.35, and pork bellies are mostly on the higher side, too. Crude oil is interesting. November is up today, and that's probably what they're basing our whole cash price on today. It's up about $2 a barrel. Gasoline is up about 3 cents, and diesel's about 4 cents higher. But listen to this. From January on, all of next year is down $6 a barrel on oil and 15 cents a gallon on gasoline, 17 to 18 cents on diesel. So don't buy today, right? Crude, that's kind of the way I look at it anyway. By the way, weekly export inspections for grain, good for wheat. I'm Larry Steckline.
Carbon monoxide.
Salmonella.
Mold on the underside of a sandwich.
What you can't see can hurt you. And nematodes in your cornfield are no different.
Heartburn.
Black ice.
A low pressure trough.
If your corn plants are experiencing yellowing, wilting, or stunted growth, or if they look healthy but aren't reaching their yield potential, chances are they're fighting nematodes.
The IRS.
Radar in an unmarked car.
Ninjas at night.
Conservation tillage, corn on corn, and the decline of in-furrow insecticides have made all types of soil a breeding ground for nematodes. They're invisible, they're stealthy, and they come back for more.
Like cockroaches.
In your cupboard.
What you can't see can hurt you. Start seeing nematodes before it's too late. A message from Syngenta Seed Care, working to bring you a new nematicide seed treatment for corn.
Always read and follow label instructions before buying or using any Syngenta.
You spend a lot of hours in that old tractor planting, tilling, and fertilizing. Just like you, Stadler Implement spends a lot of time with after-sales service. Look at their line of Kinze, Kraus, and Sukup tillage equipment. When it's time to fertilize, Stadler Implement carries the Demco 3-point or pole-type chemical applicators. Carl and his staff also service well engines with tune-ups and overhauls. Isn't it nice to know you can go to one business and be satisfied with their service? Stadler Implement, East Highway 6, Minden.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 1460 and 1550 AM. KXPN Kearney and KICS Hastings.
ESPN Superstation. Sports Center.
And good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. Well, Nebraska coach Bo Pelini says he takes the blame for his team not showing better restraints. He says his players need to learn to back away from heated situations before they escalate. Through five games, the Huskers are on pace to set a school record for penalties. They were flagged 14 times for 101 yards against Missouri. The number of penalties tied the school record and was the most since the 1951 game against Missouri. Among the penalties this season are 8 personal fouls, 1 unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against Pelini, and 1 for roughing the passer. The Big 12 Conference has announced that Nebraska's October 18th game at Iowa State will start at 11:30 and will be televised by the Versus Network. Game times and television information for Nebraska's games against Baylor, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Kansas State will be determined 6 to 12 days in advance. The Huskers' November 28th contest against Colorado is set for 2:30 with ABC providing a national telecast. Morningside has been picked to win the Great Plains Athletic Conference Women's Basketball Championship this year. The Mustangs finished 33-4 last year and advanced to the semifinals of the national tournament. Hastings is picked to finish second under first-year head coach Jeff Dittman. Concordia was third in the preseason poll, followed by Northwestern and Doan. Dakota Wesleyan has been picked to win the GPAC men's basketball title this year. The Tigers were 24-9 a year ago. Northwestern was picked to finish second, followed by Morningside, Dort, and Sioux Falls. Hastings finished seventh in the preseason poll. Carroll of Montana continues to lead the NAIA college football poll. The Fighting Saints are 6-0 on the season. They received all 17 first-place votes. Sioux Falls is second, followed by Missouri Valley, St. Francis of Indiana, and Morningside. Northwestern is 10th, and Midland Lutheran is 24th. Hastings College will play Morningside this Saturday in Sioux City. That's the sports update. I'm Mike Will.
Friday night means high school football, and we've got more live action for you this week. On ESPN 1460, Kearney Catholic will host North Platte St. Pat's. On ESPN 1550, Hastings St. Cecilia will host Central City. 1230 KHAS Adams Central is at Hastings. Power 99 FM Minden is at Wood River. And on the Breeze 94.5 FM, Franklin is at Silver Lake. And don't forget, every single game can also be heard on the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com this Friday night.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Bo Pelini here in just about 1 minute from Lincoln, his weekly press conference on our extended edition. Joe Gann saying this morning that he takes exception to the comment by Chase Daniel that the Huskers are the dirtiest team he ever played. Well, he said one of the dirtiest. Again, come on, AP. Gann said today that Daniel got hit perhaps 3 times in the game and is surprised that he would consider that dirty. One of the hits was a late shot by Zach Potter that drew a personal foul, but Gann says he doesn't agree with the call. As the coaches said yesterday, they considered the matter closed. And Missouri radio station was reporting yesterday that the player in question in the spinning incident was Ndamukong Suh. Well, you know, maybe I don't know. I thought, as I listened to some of our counterparts doing some talk radio yesterday, valid point. They're not calling you're not calling Chase Daniel a liar, but if somebody spit on you before a game, don't you think somebody would take notice and there would be a retaliation or something would happen right at that moment? Somebody walks up and spits on you, you're not just going to take it, are you?
One wouldn't think so. One certainly wouldn't think so, but obviously, we said yesterday, Ndamukong Suh was the one flagged for a personal foul penalty on Tyrod Taylor earlier, so
we'll find out. Bo Pelini, we're going to be here with you. Some reaction after this, but Coach Bo Pelini and his weekly press conference now, everything that he said in Lincoln on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, Bo, you were at Oklahoma in 04 when Nebraska last played at Lubbock. You know, for Nebraska, pretty tough night the last time you were down there. When you heard that score,
I'll be honest with you, I don't even remember that. I don't even remember what the score was.
70 to 10. Over.
It's kind of irrelevant to me, right? Right?
How's your team's confidence heading into this game?
What's that?
How's your team's confidence heading into this game?
Okay, fine. I think our guys know we need to play better, and they came out with great attitude yesterday and practiced really well yesterday.
Coach, what similarities do you see between Texas Tech's offense and Dirk and Missouri's?
Different running game, different throwing game. I mean, it's a different style. A lot different.
When they're in the passing game, they seem to spread the field out just like Missouri does.
Yeah, but it's different concepts, different routes, a lot different type of running game.
Who's Crabtree comparable to? Do you compare many guys you've seen in the past, or what do you think?
He's a good player. He's a really good player. Who would I compare him to? Yeah, I hate to put a tough comparison on the guy. You know, he's really good. He's going to be, I mean, he'll play on Sunday and it'll be a high pick, I think, someday. You know, I don't know all his measurables and that type of thing, but he's a good football player and they use him well in the offense.
Has anybody effectively stopped him? How do you go about containing a guy that's considered the best receiver in the nation?
Well, you got to pay him attention, but you know they have a lot of other guys that can hurt you, so you can't just do it. You know, spend all your time trying to stop him. You got to be well balanced, but you got to pay him necessary attention and give the guy respect because he's a good player.
What about Graham Harrell, the quarterback? How good is he when he was
out? He's a good player. I think all Coach Leach's quarterbacks they're well schooled. They understand the system. They kind of bring him up through the system. He makes good decisions. You know, they protect him well. They give him outlets, and they make sure he doesn't get hit a lot. He's a good player. Makes a good decision maker. Can make the throws and understands the offense.
Is it the system or is it the quarterback?
Well, I hear a lot of that. People talking about the system makes a quarterback. Well, you can't. You got to have a guy who can execute the system. And, I think that sometimes that sells players short. Obviously, Coach Leach's system's proven and works, but, you can't just put anybody in there, obviously he picks his guys well and finds a guy who can execute the system. And Graham has done a nice job of doing that over, a period of time now.
Coach, as a defensive guy coming off a game in which the defense struggled, is it something you'd want to see going against another high-powered offense so they can have another shot at bouncing back?
No matter what, I just think we need to just keep improving and getting better. Like I said, I didn't have them well enough prepared last week, and I take that upon myself. And sometimes you try too hard as a coach, and we weren't able to execute what we wanted to do last week, and it was so that equates to a bad plan. And I like what we're doing this week. I like. I think our guys will come and step up and play well.
Is it an opportunity to grow though, facing another really good offense?
Yeah, you want to play against good competition, and Texas Tech obviously is good competition, and. That's what you got to measure yourself against eventually. Is the best out there, and I don't know what they're ranked right now. I think pretty high, top 10. So they're it's going to be a heck of a test for our football team.
When do you more prepare your guys to get on the road?
Excuse me.
This will be their first road game. What do you do to help prepare them to be in a road game?
Well, you just got to do things right. You got to keep them focused and. We don't change a whole heck of a lot in our routine, but you're going to go on the road, and you have to have a us against the world type mentality when you go on the road, and being cohesive and emphasizing team and emphasizing execution no matter where you are, that's what we need to focus on, us and executing our game plan and playing really hard.
What advantages do you see on the road that you might not see by training?
Advantages? Maybe less distractions for the guys. I mean, as far as, tickets and that type of thing. But then the first time we've traveled together, and so that's something different for all of us. But we've all been through it before, so I don't really see any advantages of playing outside of this stadium. But I'd say the only one I could think of would be distractions and family and that type of thing that less to worry about, I guess.
But when you talk about execution offensively, how far are you guys away, as you see it, from where you would like to be?
At times we execute really, we're inconsistent. And we've been inconsistent the whole year. It's just at times we're pretty good. At times, we're not good enough. And it's got to be more, we need more consistency in our game.
How would you evaluate Joe's play in five games? Along the same lines?
I think he's made a lot of plays for us. I think I thought he's played well. He's made a couple bad decisions that's hurt us, and he understands that. We need to eliminate that. But I think overall he's played very, very well.
Week and ran it 15 times in the third. What was discussed at halftime, or what did you guys see, and how does that carry over to the next game, maybe?
Well, we wanted to get, number one, we were struggling on defense, so I wanted to, and we were, no one was real happy about how we ran the football in the first half, so we wanted to get it, establish that aspect of the game. So that was an emphasis for us. And come up and get back into the game by running the football and being physical and taking some time off the clock and that all played a part in it, and that was part of it going in. But we just got behind so quick, the snowball started rolling and we didn't get it stopped.
On that subject, is there still an identity that the offense is searching for? I mean, do you have an entire unit that is on the same page with it? The way that you guys want to impose your will on a team offensively?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm missing the identity as far as... I think we're still trying to find out some about our personnel and what's best for this group, as far as giving our guys the best opportunity to have success. Some of that's personnel oriented, some of that is philosophical, but you can't always try to pound a square peg into a round hole. You gotta evaluate you're 5 weeks in, you gotta look at your personnel and kind of what they do best and put them in positions to have success, and part of that is, you have to adjust as you go along. That's both offensively, defensively, and special teams.
Was there any validity to the line of thought that maybe this offense isn't built to run because a lot of these guys come from the previous regime and maybe the offensive linemen just aren't as adept as run blocking?
Well, I think the offensive line is very, very capable. Maybe the types of runs, that's kind of a, that's kind of what we're looking at is, what personnel groupings, what formations, where are we at our best? And probably the vision of what you want it to be and what it needs to be right now at this point might be, you gotta be willing to adjust and adapt as you go along. And that's kind of where, part of where we are.
What is working in the run game, what types of runs do you think you guys have the best chance to be successful at?
Well, I don't really want to share that here, you know, that's just something I'd probably be best served not sharing, you know, in public right now.
Has that been common in your career to be 5 or 6 games in and still not quite sure about what the offense identity is and what personnel fits best?
Yeah. I mean, anytime, you know, I guess I have more experience with it on the defensive side of the football. But I've seen, you know, I've seen offenses, you know, kind of evolve and grow, and especially when you put a new staff together. I mean, true, Watts is a coordinator, but you got some new influences, some new coaches, and some new things, you know, coming together, new ideas, and you saw us, or, you know, especially early in the year, trying to do some things that are a little bit different, and, you know, kind of over time, you gotta adapt and make sure that you're not doing too much, but at the same time you're giving your guys enough to win, and all along the way you have to evaluate your personnel and where you're putting guys and giving them the best opportunity to succeed, meaning identifying your strengths and playing to those strengths.
How much are you able to learn about your personnel following a loss?
Well, I think you learn something in a win or a loss. You want to work on, you know, you want to identify your strengths and work on your weaknesses, but at the same time, all along, it's an evaluation. And make sure you're evaluating it correctly and not, you know, trying to, once again, put your guys in the best, give them the best opportunity to succeed. And that really, you know, that's in all three phases of the game.
Do you feel like you have to sometimes go back to the drawing board, so to speak?
No, but I think you need to progress and get better. And, that's the key. And but sometimes you have to, you know, I wouldn't say go back to, because when I think of go back to the drawing board, I think start over. I don't think we're at that point, but you have to adjust. I guess, did I answer your question?
So admittedly, you learn it. 9 months in, new regime, et cetera, et cetera. Even though you can go into it with the rose-colored glasses and really want to expect the best, you've been saying all along, to a degree, this is what you get when you just come in and you got to evaluate the team and the staff, et cetera, et cetera. To a degree.
Yeah, but I hate to say that because I feel like I'm making an excuse and I'm selling the players short. There's enough talent here to play better than we did Saturday and to compete and win. And, I'm not a guy that sits there and makes excuses, and I'll never be that way. And but are we where we want to be yet? No. But we're working our butts off to get there.
Along those lines, no one has to tell you about the reputation of Nebraska. You identify with it, you understand it, you have the same passion. But along those lines, with what's transpired, the allegations this past weekend, and perchance the national perception, what people might see of what's coming out of Nebraska, with the alleged spitting and that stuff, how does that make you feel?
It hurts, because that's not the kind of program I run, and I'm going to run. And I think that the allegations are unfortunate. You know, I wasn't there. The last thing I'll say on that is there are two sides to every story, and that's about as far as I'm going to go. I'm not, and by no means am I calling Chase Daniel a liar. But I wasn't there. There's mixed stories, and unfortunately I can't turn back the clock and go and get a video and see exactly what happened. But I know there are two sides to every story. I promise you this, if I knew that's for sure exactly what happened, I addressed my team on the issue, we talked about it, they fully understand that nothing like that would ever be acceptable around here, and that's as far as I can go, and I addressed it, we talked about it, and we put it in our past, and we're moving on. But, you know, in this situation, I don't know much more you can do than that.
Well, how eye-opening was Saturday's game to you in regard to how far you have to go? Or was it?
It wasn't. It was and it wasn't. I'm disappointed because I don't think we played well enough. We didn't play well. And I think there are a lot of reasons for it, and I'm not going to address them all. You know, we didn't. I don't like the plan. I didn't, you know, I think, and I look back, like I said, sometimes as a coach, sometimes you try too hard. And I don't know if I regret some of the things that we did in our plan, and especially defensively. And, you know, I'm disappointed, but, you know, because we didn't play well. And I think there's a number of reasons for it, and I don't want to get into all those because that's behind us now. And really, I take full responsibility on myself for that loss.
Coach, have you thought about simplifying your defensive game plan to make it maybe easier to execute?
That's what I've been trying to do, and like I said, I don't think I made the right choice in how I tried to go about it.
What are one or two regrets you have about the defensive game plan specifically?
Like I said, I don't really want to get into that. I have enough. I've been coaching defense for a long time, and in my efforts to simplify some things and to be aggressive and to I'm not exactly sure I didn't make the right decisions. I got away from what I believe in and for a number of reasons, and I shouldn't have done so.
Have you ever done this before? Have you ever felt like this before? About not making the right decisions?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a real challenge to
you. Oh, no. Trust me. I've been there before. Believe me, I've made, I mean, we've all made mistakes. And, you know, and if it, you know, if we had executed, it would have been a lot different. We had some opportunities, you know, early especially. And then it, things kind of got out of control. Anytime I've been in this situation, I mean, I've gone through tough times before.
Biggest challenge you've ever faced?
Well, I'm the head of the program, so yeah, you know, it's a tough challenge. But believe me, I was after my first two games at LSU, they wanted to run me out of the state. You can ask anybody down there. I was number one on the hate list in Louisiana for a while, and we changed that around. You know, I know this. I know how to get the job done. I've been there. I know exactly where we want to head, how to get there, and I'm committed to doing it. And you know, I'm working day and night to get it done. And I believe in where we're headed. I believe in. I think the team has bought in, myself and the staff, and where we're heading and what we're doing. I think we have good cohesiveness. I think the character is good. We just got to keep working.
At this point, are you still adding stuff, or are you just working on the stuff that you already have and just perfect the
speed? You're always adding things some, but you got to perfect along the way. You have to add and adapt as you go along because you play in different offenses week to week and defenses and that type of thing. But, you try and simplify, but at the same time, you can... you can oversimplify too.
Yeah. Well, said that you have enough talent to win here. Assess the talent you thought you had coming in to this job, and now that you're in the middle of the season, where you were right or wrong in that previous assessment, or maybe you were in the spring.
We're about where I thought we were. I mean, really, I mean, it's. I thought I had a pretty good handle on where we were. And I also know where where we're headed to. And there hasn't been a huge surprise.
Thank you.
Are you giving more input to the offense as the season goes along, or what's your level of input kind of on the offense as well?
I mean, I spend more time with the defense, obviously, but I give ideas. I mean, I give my my influence. You know, we're talking about philosophy. Talk about, you know, where you know, defenses, who we're playing, the things that that hurt them. That's kind of how we go about it, but. I'm not designing the offense, you know.
Do you and Sean mentioned like a week ago that one time you guys got together and talked about each side of the ball from the other team. Do you do that usually on a weekly basis?
Not weekly, but we, you know, I spend more time doing that than anything else. But there's ideas and input going back and forth on the staff all the time.
Well, you said you've had bad game plans before. Have you ever had have tough times in your career ever lasted more than a couple weeks?
Fortunately not, but no. I mean, I don't know. I it's hard to say, but
is that unusual for a coach?
For
I mean, it seems like you've been more successful than most of your peers.
Well, I don't know, you know. I mean, I don't want to act like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I mean, you know, What I've always figured along the way is, just like anybody else, you're going to do some good things, you're going to make mistakes along the way, but at every turn you got to learn from your mistakes, and you have to evaluate what you're doing, and then make your, you know, work to fix it, or, you know, play on what you've done better. But at all times you have to stay the course, and you got to stay within your philosophy, you got to stay within your beliefs. And I've been able to do that. And you can't let outside influences, you can't let other people, you know, you can't let criticism, you can't let anything stray you away from that. Because if you start making the wrong decisions for the wrong reasons, usually those are going to be the wrong decisions. You have to look at the truth and work to fix it. And I think that's what I've always been able to do. I'm a pretty blunt guy. I'm pretty black and white, and I've always been able to sift through all the things that are being said, not being said, the criticisms, and look at, okay, this is where we are, this is where we need to go, and this is the best way to get there, and no matter what, stay the course. And this situation isn't any different.
Do you ever feel like it's only been 5 games, but it's like you've been here for years, and you know you've got the bunker mentality, and you know.
No, I mean, I don't feel like I have a bunker mentality. I mean, I really don't. You know, I don't think I need that. I mean, like I said, you know, I said going in, you know, they're going to love you while you're undefeated, and when you lose a couple games, you know, it's reality. That's the way it is. That's my job. But at no time, you know, do I feel like I'm got to crawl into a hole and separate myself from the world? That isn't the way I approach things. I'm the same guy I was 2 weeks ago. And the reality of where we are and where we need to go, it changes a little bit, but I know one thing, we got to stay the course and keep working.
Coach, you said this is a tough stretch at this time. And do you feel it's time you got to rely on your staff a little bit? Because you have a lot on the plate, so you said you don't know everything.
Absolutely. I have a very capable staff. I believe in my staff, and I've relied on them from day one, believe me, you know, and we're going to keep coaching it and keep working to get better, and at the same time, I have confidence in the players. I really enjoy the way our team took the field yesterday. They took the field yesterday with an attitude, and it was a good attitude, and they went back to work, and there was no... we got after it yesterday, and you know, for a Monday practice, it was a shorter practice, but it was high effort, great attitude. So there's nobody here that there's no finger pointing going on. There's no I think, you know, I like where we're headed.
Coach,
Coach had a late game substitution of punter on Saturday. I didn't read into that or what's going on with that position yet.
That, you know, just like any other position, that position is the competition's on.
Other questions for Coach?
Thanks, Scott.
Bo Pelini and his weekly press conference from Lincoln, the Doug and Daddy Show, extended Tuesday edition, as it always is with Coach Pelini. Normally, we would go right into a break here and come back and assess what we heard today. But a couple comments I want to get to right away. The last question finally at least broke it up. There was an actual football question about the football team and the football game. Daddy, as we listen to that, the press conference lasted approximately 25 minutes this morning, which is a little long. Anything that goes over 20 for any of the coaches, whether it was Osborne, Solich, Callahan, or now this first year with Pelini, is fairly long. When was the last question asked about Texas Tech or the football game Saturday? I've got it way
Crabtree?
Probably Crabtree. I mean, there was a question in there about the first game on the road, but marking this off, it was in the first 5 minutes, maybe the first 4 minutes, and you knew you were going to get general answers from Coach Pelini about the talent of Texas Tech, because what can you say about the talent of Texas Tech? There was some allusion into what part of the running game might work and against other things, but... What?
I
thought it was a good press conference. I thought Bo Pelini handled himself very well. His best press conference today. He did not dance around things that people wanted to know about. He responded to the team being called dirty. He responded about how he felt, you know, after getting, you know, waxed here. I thought the quote of the press conference was, they wanted to run me out of LSU after two games. But that worked okay. I know how to get things done. They asked him about the talent level. Somebody finally asked that question. You know, is this team worse than you thought it was going to be? I mean, that was the question. He said, no, it's right where I thought it would be. He knows the talent. He knew he was going to. Bottom line, if you wanted to go into the Mike and Mike, what he really meant to say thing, I knew we weren't at the talent level we needed to be. And I think he said that a long time ago, way before the season ever started. I know that we're going to have some talent issues. We just have to coach up where we have a few issues, and we have to make sure that where we do have talent, they get better. But some interesting thoughts from the coach today.
See, I thought they could have followed up the question perhaps and said, you know, he talks about improvement every week, and as long as you're making that in the wins and losses, you can go on and you can – has he saw improvement week in, week out from this group? I thought that would have been interesting to follow that up and say, hey, we're five games in. Have you saw noticeable improvement from game one to game five? And I don't know what he would have said. I would have been interested in that. I also...
Well, we're a work in progress.
There you go. I also thought when he came out and they said, when you ran the ball 15 times in the third quarter... Well, no, nobody was real happy with the way we ran the ball in the first. Were you real ecstatic about the way you ran it in the second half?
Well, again, get the clock moving. You could already tell what was going to happen. See if you can get that run game going against the defense that's not supposed to be that good. And it didn't work, obviously, like they wanted it to work. There's no doubt about that. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, Bo Pelini's weekly press conference. We did get an email that I have to read while Coach Pelini was talking there. As you know, H. Mann from Riverdale came out of retirement with an email for the first time since the Bo Pelini hiring. Adam and Holdridge says, the question I'm asking myself regarding H. Mann coming out of retirement, folks. I get what you're doing here. The question I'm asking myself regarding H. Mann coming out of retirement, folks, don't get overly excited. Will it be greeted with the fervor of the Favre situation or the indifference the new kids on the block received? In any case, welcome back. I knew you couldn't stay away for long, Adam and Holdridge. We'll take a break, wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Doug and Daddy will get right back to you. The Big Red Report with Sean Callahan on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation is brought to you by Timo's Detailing, Kearney's only full-service auto detailer, and by Muddy Mike's Car Wash, where every Wednesday self-serve washes are only a buck.
With today's Husker Radio Report, I'm Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com. Drive killers, mental errors, bad calls, call them what you want. Penalties have been Nebraska's own worst enemy in 2008, and things may have hit their peak this past Saturday night. The Huskers tied a school record against Missouri with 14 penalties, and when the stats came out on Monday, NU ranked 115th in the nation, averaging 9.2 penalties per contest, and 110th nationally with 74.8 penalty yards per game. On Monday, you could just feel head coach Bo Pelini's frustrations when asked to comment about NU's penalty problems through five games.
Do I think we're an undisciplined football team? No, I do not. So I think we made some mistakes and made some penalties. Yes, I did.
Senior offensive lineman Lydon Murtha expressed similar frustrations on Monday.
It's really hard just to, you know, go out there and perform so poorly. You know, our fans and all of Nebraska deserves better than that, so we're going to fix it.
Reporting with the Nebraska football team in Lincoln, I'm Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com.
Remember back when people had pride in their car?
You can steal my girlfriend. You can kick my dog. But don't you touch my car.
Did damage during the recent tornadoes leave the interior all soaked in your car? Call Timmo's Detailing and Carpet Cleaning at 440-0885. You'll love the fresh, clean, like-new look from Timmo's Detailing. Call for commercial or residential carpet cleaning with fabric protection available. Cleaning up after the storm. Timmo's Auto Detailing and Carpet Cleaning, 1004 Avenue A, behind Kelly Electric in Kearney.
Why do so many people wash their car or truck at Money Mike's Car Wash in Kearney? Well, maybe it's because of Money Mike's high-pressure spot-free rinse with purifying water. Or Wash 'em Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., all self-serve washes are just $1 for 3 minutes and $2.50 for touchless automatic washes. For added convenience, credit cards are now accepted. For value, performance, and convenience, come to Money Mike's Car Wash on the corner of 39th and N. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The Big Red Report with Sean Callahan on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation has been brought to you by Money Mike's Car Wash, where every Wednesday self-serve washes are only a buck, and by Timmo's Detailing, Kearney's only full-service auto detailer.
Hank says use less gas and keep your engine healthier by using the right motor oil. You'll maintain the health of your engine with Chevron Havoline Motor Oil from Hardware Hank. It reduces wear and friction, engine deposit, and keeps engines cleaner. Shop Hardware Hank this week for Havoline Motor Oil from Chevron. And visit HardwareHank.com for the Hank nearest you.
You've got a lot more going for you with Hank, Hardware Hank.
Hastings Keno, Sports Bar and Grill. Come on in, let the games begin.
Home of high payouts, great food, and cheap beer. Hastings Keno Sports Bar and Grill. Every sport, every team, every game, all on over 50 TVs. Enjoy DirecTV's NFL Sunday Ticket, ESPN Game Day, the NFL Network, plus all regional and local sports channels. And Hastings Keno always carries Husker football and pay-per-view, and there's never a cover charge. Hastings Keno Sports Bar and Grill. Come on in and let the games begin.
You have to figure that the only golf course in central Nebraska with a global positioning system would have a good shot at spotting you some great savings. Indian Head Golf Course Pro Shop has specially priced 10% discounts on Husker logo gear and exceptional values from name brands ranging from Adidas to Antigua, Callaway, and Mizuno. Shop early for Christmas or for all the remaining nice weather. Still a great assortment of golf clubs and equipment as well. So visit the Pro Shop at central Nebraska's only GPS-equipped golf course, Indian Head. Click on IndianHeadGolf.com or call 308-381-4653.
Now here's a real eye-opener for you. Lind Eye Care of Kearney is moving. That's right. As of October 15th, their new location will be at 4107 7th Avenue. At Lind Eye Care, you can count on Dr. Lind and Dr. Bierbauer to take care of all of your vision needs, whether it's new contacts or LASIK surgery. At Lind Eye Care, they'll treat your eyes as if they were treating their own. Plan now to visit Lind Eye Care in their new location at 4107 7th Avenue, beginning on October 15th.
Duck and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the extended Tuesday edition. We heard from Bo Pelini, as you always will. Bo Pelini press conferences right around noon after our sports break here on the Duck and Daddy Show. Daddy, I think we've talked about everything. Bo knows what's in store for him. He knows if they don't play better, they're going to get rolled again Saturday. Joe Gann said it in a banged up, depressed state at midnight on Saturday night after the ball game. But he knows, and again, interesting press conference. The way that all the questions went, You know, and at some point, Bo's going to go, guys, do you want to talk about the game this weekend? Or what are we doing here?
But I think he's been so careful yet again, and I think he knew. He knows the talent level, and looking at film, he could see how they matched up man on man, and I think he had to see that, boy, barring some unforeseen turnovers and whatnot, we were behind the eight ball against Missouri. We're probably behind the eight ball again. Being very, very careful once again with the psyche of this team. He knows the talent level. He knows it sucks. I'll just say it. The talent level is below average.
Now remember,
it's not good.
Remember, this is not a 2-10 team, all right?
Fair enough.
All right, so before you're saying it's the worst talent in the country, they're not.
Oh, we're not Temple.
Team.
We're not, no.
A 500 ball club.
Right.
All right.
That's where he thinks we're at. He's being very, very careful with the psyche, knows the psyche's fragile, and doesn't want to do anything to disrupt what continuity there is there and keep things rolling.
If you missed Bo Pelini's press conference, our interview with Terry Douglas from the Grand Island Independent, Ed Rouse from Minden, some great volleyball going on tonight. Don't forget, the podcast will be up by the top of the hour at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and The Courtyard. And don't forget, we're going to give you a chance to get registered for Cunningham and ESPN's football excursion to Denver to see the Broncos take on the Kansas City Chiefs later this season, and we will be talking about that as the week progresses. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be talking with Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep and Morningside defensive coordinator Jay Christensen, former assistant coach at UNK, now the D coordinator of the fifth-ranked team in the NAIA as they take on Hastings this week.
And on Thursday, Mike Leach, head coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders, set to join us as well. All that and more this week on the Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 to our friends in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!